Hey, folks, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Banff Podcast. Today is kind of an icons love fest. And with us today, we've got somebody exhaling heavily into the microphone. Was that you, John?
It's not I. I'm Post.
Nobody fessed up. We got a bunch of guys who do the icons work, starting with John Post, who has recently had Laughing Matter published by Adamant. Before that, Whiteout. How you doing, sir?
Good. How are you?
All right.
All right. We also have Mr. John Dunn, who does Hope Preparatory School for icons. How you doing, sir?
Doing great. Pleasure to be here.
Glad you could join us. And frequent co-host, Mr. Walter Billiard from Hazard Studios.
Highly caffeinated, always motivated.
Thanks for joining us, Walt. And we have Joe. How do I say your last name?
That's Bardalis.
Joe Bardalis, who runs
a
superhero-focused blog that often comments on icons. Just add heroes.blogspot.com, right?
Yes, that's it. It's a great honor to be here among such esteemed icons notoriety.
shucks. We're just guys. But yeah, Joe really has the pulse on what's going on with icons, so check out his blog, justaddheroes.blogspot.com, and he's got the straight dope, as the kids say.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know, man. Due to some court orders, I can't really hang around kids anymore, but that's what they say on TV. So, well, hey, we're going to talk about everyone's icons products and have a goddamn good time doing it. So, Mr. Post, tell us about No Laughing Matter.
So, I was speaking with Gareth talking about adventures that might be a good idea, and he mentioned that icons didn't really have a couple of categories covered yet in adventures, and one of them was the Joker slash Riddler slash comic-y kind of supervillain. So he asked me to come up with something, and No Laughing Matter is what I came up with. We aimed for an April 1st release date that required me to do a little more work during the work day than I normally do on an icons project, but we got it out, and Dan Hauser put up the art for it, and I think it turned out pretty well. I really like his work. And I wanted to make sure I mentioned something, which I did not do in No Laughing Matter, which is an oversight of my part. Dr. Punch and Electric Judy, two characters on the icons core book cover, are included. Their stats and their background are included in the adventure. Those are actually Dan's characters. I just added them up and filled in some holes, but they're Dan's characters, not mine.
Yeah, and I remember we had some questions on the Icons Yahoo group about those guys.
Yes, that was me doing research, and everyone pointed me in Dan's direction, and their characters from his home campaign, and we statted them up and thought they would fit well in this adventure, and I think they do.
Okay, cool. And you're currently the number one selling Icons product.
Yes, thank you. I broke the top 15 on RPG Now, so I'm happy with that.
Very cool, very cool. Okay, well, nice. So, classic icon style. Looks like Dan Hauser did all the art. $5 right now on RPG Now, and this is a little longer than usual. This is about 30 pages, it looks like.
Yeah, I don't know why. I always write longer than I think I'm going to. I mean, I guess a lot of authors do that, but my outline was probably aiming at 20 pages, and then when I filled it all in, it turned out to be 30, but I like to include a lot of extra background. Anyone who reads it is going to probably learn something about art history that they probably didn't know before, unless they know things about art history already. So the villain has an art fetish, and so I included some background on that and some other things. I was really looking to go for a traditional, not necessarily a DC Comics version, but a Batman comic cartoon version, sort of a riff on a Riddler or a Joker kind of adventure, and but with an original character, the Punster. So I hope people enjoy it, and I'm looking forward to hearing back from the Icons community on how they liked it.
Okay, cool, cool. And so you're kind of a Batman Brave and the Bold sort of vibe, you think, or?
Yeah, it's probably a little more serious than that. It's probably, I haven't watched all the Brave and the Bold yet, but the ones I have watched are a little more light than this. It's not
War and Peace.
No, it's not War and Peace. It's not The Watchmen.
Okay. Well, cool. All right. Any projects coming up you want to talk about for Adamant or other stuff?
I've got some things, but the publisher has told me not to discuss them yet. So hold your breath, and we'll find out in a couple of months.
All right, that's all under wraps. Okay, well, moving on to our second, but not lesser, John of the evening. We have Mr. John Dunn, who is the guy behind the whole preparatory school setting for ICONS. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great, Mike. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Hey, let me ask you. Hey, let's say you just meet somebody on an elevator, and you got to give an elevator pitch about Hope Prep.
Sure.
How would you describe that in 5 sentences or less?
So the core of it is telling a coming-of-age story about students with a dramatic environment full of crises. Oh, and they have superpowers, too. And that's the basic core concept. I'm a big fan of classic coming-of-age stories. I'm a big fan of high school TV shows, movies, and also just been reading comics for far too long. Legion of Superheroes, Young Justice, Teen Titans, all those types of stories. I really like the way you see a character sort of blossoming into their powers, but I also really like linking that into the more mundane terrors that is the modern American high school.
Well, it kind of sounds like Buffy when you describe it like that.
There's definitely Buffy elements, and I watched way too many John Hughes flicks in the 80s, so there's certainly an element of that as well.
Impossible to watch too many.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, nice. And you've got a whole menu of a veritable wine list of selections here. There's the Hope Prep Freshman Handbook. Looks like that's maybe your flagship.
That's exactly it. That's our core book for the setting. It's presented as the student guide to an incoming freshman and then offers commentary on all the different classes, including the syllabuses for the different classes, and then a lot of background information on the extracurriculars. And at the same time as somebody's going through that reading it, the copies that are presented are supposed to be annotated. So there's 3 different students that have written their comments and questions about the freshman year experience in the margins. And because the PDF set up in layers, if a game master wants his players to see it without that, you can conceal those layers.
That's a really cool touch. It's kind of like the notes in the margin of lesson files. That's really nifty.
Same basic concept, yeah.
Oh, cool. And you've got some great-looking art in here. Who are your artists?
Well, there's Pat Sullivan, who I had worked with a lot back in the time when I was doing Shadowrun stuff. And then Jeff Preston, who unfortunately isn't doing artwork anymore, is the one who had done most of our cover work. And there's a couple other pieces by, I'm sorry, I'm blanking on a name at the moment, Mike something.
Mike Unshaw.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah, I just had your page up in front of me. That's the only reason. I wasn't right.
I appreciate that.
No problem. Well, cool. All right, so we got looks like a bunch of adventures for it, too. The Substitute, Howling Ball.
And Orientation.
And Orientation. And your most recent release, if I'm not mistaken, in the last month or so, was HPS Aliens Character Pack.
Yeah, so shortly after release, we organized a package of 6 characters that if somebody was just wanting to sit down, get in a game without having to go through character generation, just maybe running a con game or a demo or something, those characters would be ready to go with the orientation adventure or any of the others. And then because one of the core concepts of the school environment is the notion that pretty much everybody belongs to a clique of some sort in high school, we decided we wanted to start developing packs of characters that link to those cliques to flesh them out, so that if a game master wants to have a readily available package of characters as NPCs or just extra characters to fill in, they can use them. And the Aliens one is the first one. We do have a couple other packs in development along with a few more adventures as well.
Oh, cool. All right. So what clique were you in high school?
Oh, I'm ashamed to admit it. I was a band geek.
Really?
Oh, yes. Not that I have any ear for music, but I went to an all-guys high school, and it was pretty much the only extracurricular that had girls involved.
You chose wisely, my friend. You chose wisely.
I try.
All right, cool. Oh, hey, we should probably mention that Dan Houser, Gone But Not Forgotten, from the podcast, he'll be back soon, did the cover for Hope Prep 2 Halloween Ball.
Yes, he certainly did, and he is our cover artist moving forward. He's currently, well, when he's healthy enough to do so, he's working on the cover for our next adventure, which will be Field Trip.
Okay. And what Mr. Dunn's referring to, in case anyone hasn't heard, Dan was in a minor car wreck. And he's doing okay. He's enjoying the Vicodin, and he's back up and around, but he's feeling some pain. So if you have any good thoughts, you know, send them Dan's way.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Or, you know, $10 bills or Dan will take it. It's okay. All right, cool, cool. So what's the next release after Aliens? Another one queued up? You're developing?
Yeah, so the one I just mentioned, actually, Field Trip is our next adventure that will be coming out once all the artwork is assembled. Writing's done, editing's done. It just needs to go through layout and get the art put in and made all pretty and shiny and stuff. That one involves the characters leaving campus to go on a field trip. That's the really creative naming there. And, of course, because it involves teenagers and superpowers, things don't go quite the way they'd like it to.
Dun, dun, dun!
Bingo.
All right. Hey, you've actually gotten a fair amount of, I want to say, talk lately over in the Icons Yahoo group. People have been posting actual plays of
For which I am incredibly grateful. I really appreciate the fact that a couple of people have taken the time out to recount their stories and offer us additional feedback, because, you know, that is the best way to see how we can develop things better to make everybody happy.
Yeah, feedback is so nice when you actually get it. I mean, it's got to be really gratifying.
Absolutely.
All right, cool, cool. Hey, Walt, I think it's your turn in the barrel.
It happens to the best of us.
All right. Walt Rebellyard, no stranger to listeners of the podcast, had recently had a release for Icons, Zenith Comics Presents Supervillains.
Which... Actually, yeah, it was a re-release, actually. The a couple months ago I took over as the RPG producer for Zenith Comics.
Mm-hmm.
So when that happened, I decided to take all of our previous releases and just put them all underneath my banner. So that way, nobody had to, if they wanted to pick up our stuff, had to go to several different places.
Mm-hmm.
They just go to one place, pick up all our stuff, and there you go.
Okay, cool, cool. Yeah, it makes it a little simpler for the consumer.
And we try to be user-friendly. Either that or, you know, just like a Claymore mine, front toward enemy, you know, make sure it's all good.
Excellent, excellent. All right, well, hey, tell us who is in Supervillains.
Well, Supervillains started out as the love child of Andrew Colas, who is pretty much our boss daddy for Zenith Comics, and he's the creative force behind everything. And this is a small collection of Icons write-ups for some of the premier characters that exist in the Zenith Comics universe. If anyone wants to go to check out a little piece of it, they can go to the area of RPG Now where the product is listed, and we have a preview up they can look at in full size. The product is bringing Zenith Comics and some of the characters that populate it over to Icons and allowing people to use those in their universes as either villains, heroes, what have you. And there's plenty of plot hooks and details that folks can use to do anything they really want to do with these characters.
Okay, sweet, sweet. And it's available for the very friendly price of 99 cents.
Absolutely. We wanted to, this is basically a window into the Zenith Comics universe. And as some of you have heard on the podcast before, we have a comic book coming out sometime in the middle of this year called Heroic. And that's going to be, this is like a little window into that to see what the feel of it is and how you can take stories from Heroic and use them in your games.
Yeah, I actually had a chance to read the script for Heroic, and it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's not what you would expect from, your standard superhero fare, but, it keeps all the powers in there while making it modern and relatable to, to teens. A lot like what Marvel Comics is doing with some of their Ultimate titles. You don't just have the white-skinned, blonde-haired guy who's always the hero. You know, now they're branching out, and there are more relatable characters like we have in America today. I mean, that's one of the things that Andrew wanted to do and also bring out in the Supervillains release for Icons.
Are you going to have any overweight heroes?
Are we going to have any overweight heroes?
Yeah, so I'm waiting for the overweight hero to come out.
Absolutely.
All right, good, good. Finally, some representation for my minority group.
Yep. You know, because, I mean, you want, you know, so much of what you have in comics today is, especially in the mainstream stuff, is all about beefcake and, you know, I'm rippling with muscles and, you know, I have perfect teeth and I'm a soldier and, you know, you see the guys who serve on the front lines and are covered in body armor, dirt, and, you know, they haven't showered in a week, you know, and they strip all of that stuff out, finally get a showered, and, you know, when they step out, they're still scarred and flawed and, you know, some of them really don't look good in a uniform and some of them have, you know, some of them have physical defects due to either past encounters with the enemy or because, you know, they grew up like that. I mean, I've broken my nose 6 times and it's slightly crooked. So, I mean, you know, you want, Andrew, our creative force behind Zenith Comics, wanted a story as well as products that we could put out for the RPG set. He wanted products that represent what modern society is, not just the beefcake that you see every day.
That's fantastic.
Well said. And hey, Walt?
Yes, sir.
You're still pretty.
I thank you. I do what I can.
It's all good. It's all good.
It's hard to be a kung fu supermodel in today's day and age.
You wear it well, sir. So what else are you guys doing for Icons? Anything else on the horizon? Or?
Well, much like some of the other esteemed company that I find myself in tonight, my boss originally told me that I shouldn't really discuss too much else. However, seeing as I am my boss and I don't like him, I'm going to talk about it anyway.
Okay.
So we got one of the things that we've been working on for the past couple of months is there is an area of superhero comics that really hasn't been touched on too much, and we'd like to do this for Icons. We really haven't approached Adamant yet because we wanted to have something concrete to show them, but, you know, since we like to scoop people on your podcast, Mike, might as well do it now.
Sweet.
We're going to create a line of small adventures called Solos, and Solos stands for Single Operator Legendary Outcomes. And it's basically going to be for the GM and and either the single player or the duo. And it's going to be roughly each one is going to be about 25 pages, 3 scenes. And it's something that if you wanted to, you could use it for a night or you could use it to spring load a campaign.
Cool. I like that idea. I'm a big fan of short adventures. I like that idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we really, you know, the average playing group is 3 to 4, but you really don't see anything for, hey, you know, I want a game tonight, but, you know, all I got is me and the GM, you know? I mean, so why not have a product that you can roll out at a moment's notice and say, hey, you know, 2 players didn't show up, but we still have 2 here and plenty of pizza. Let's do this.
And Icons is the perfect game for that.
Absolutely.
And you can roll characters and be going in 5 minutes.
Yeah, why not? I mean, and say you got... say you got something else on the hook, like, you know, you're playing the new Heroic game or you got Mutants and Masterminds normally, but you need something for that one night where, you know, everybody bailed except your one player and he's your dedicated guy. Pull out Icons, you know, pull out all the stops, make that character in 5 minutes, and then do something legendary.
Beautiful. Okay, and that sounds like that's still, like, percolating. We probably don't have an ETA on that yet, do we?
No, we don't have an ETA on that. I have 2 of the adventures, and the adventures are basically... you would need about 8 to 12 hours playtime, depending on how much you did with the scenes. But each adventure is broken up into 3 scenes, and I have 2 adventures written so far. I want to write a third, and that way when I do approach Adamant and Gareth, I can say, hey, look, this is what I have on the stove. You know, this is the way it smells, looks, and tastes. What do you want to do with it?
Cool, cool. Keep an eye out for that. Excellent.
Thank you very much, sir.
Well, hey, Mr. Bardalis.
Yes, sir.
We're come back around to you, and I noticed on your blog you got a lengthy, interesting article about Icon 1602. Could you tell us what that's about?
Sure. I've been one of my favorite Marvel series was the Icon 1602. I love historical role playing. I've played a lot of Victorian horror games and a lot of stuff like Call of Cthulhu and all kinds of different eras, and I really wanted to. Was thinking when I was reading that, what would it look like if we took Icons and that universe that's sort of implied in the setting, and we set it in 1602, just like Marvel did with all its classic characters, So I kind of came up with this article, and I started with like a list of what would the characters' names be in that era. And then it kind of grew from there as I was writing it last week. You know, I started to include some things, like I looked at the specialties list and how it would be different in the Elizabethan era, and how what kind of equipment they might have and weapons, and you know, kind of came up with some icon stats for that. And it was actually really well received. A lot of people were commenting on it on the Yahoo Groups icons group. And I got a lot of comments from people, emails, comments on the blog. So it was a lot of fun for me because, you know, I just kind of – basically everything I do with the blog is just kind of like what ifs and, you know, what I want to do with icons. It helps me focus and actually, you know, like to write things and to share them. So I actually get work done if you have, like, deadlines and stuff like that. So I really enjoy writing that. So I'm thinking about doing another one. I'm going to call it Icons by Gaslight. Maybe take a look at like playing a game like Icons, but in the Victorian era. I know other publishers of Supers games have done that and done it quite successfully and very cleverly. I'm thinking of like
World of Freedom.
Yeah. That's one I'm thinking of. I'm trying to. Well, basically, it's based on Gotham by Gaslight. But there, the name escapes me right now. It was for the OR system. I don't know why I can't remember the name right now. But it's one of the big supplements for Wild Talents. And I think one of you must know what that is. It's set in the Victorian era.
I can picture the cover.
I'm picturing it right now. I can't pronounce the word right now. It's on the tip of my tongue. It begins with K.
Okay. I'll see if
Carabas Club or Cerebus Club or something. Carabas Club. That's it. Yeah. So I know it's been done before, but I kind of wanted to take a look again, like I did with Icon 1602, and maybe do something with the characters that exist in that and see what they would look like in a Victorian era setting. So. Fun stuff like that I'm doing on my blog.
Yeah, I used to do some historical recreation back in the days when I was drinking a lot more. And, I like some of these stats for armor. And I used to have a back and breast thing I wore to fight in. So that's kind of cool. And, we got cannon stats for icons here.
Yeah, yeah. One of the things I kind of pulled out, which I hadn't had looked at in a while, one of the best things to come out of the TSR second edition era of Advanced Dungeons and Dragons was A Mighty Fortress. I know some of you might be familiar with that. It was one of the historical series, the green soft covers. It was set in that whole period between, I think, 1550 and 1650. And I came across that the other day, and I've been flipping through it, and I'm going, wow, this is just really, really amazing. It was written by Steve Winter, I believe, and he was just recently one of the latest casualties of the WotC Axe. But just absolutely brilliant. I mean, this is the kind of stuff they do write nowadays, but there's something special about when they wrote it back then. You know what I'm saying? It's a really great resource for any type of game. It's well researched, and you know, it calls back to an era that not necessarily gone, but certainly a different era than we have today. So yeah. That was a great inspiration for that article I wrote on the blog.
Yeah, Walt and I had Jeff D on a month or two back.
Yeah,
the old days at TSR. That was pretty fun. He's putting out a new game called Cavemaster. That's he demoed for us on the podcast. It's the idea was making a system that cavemen could play.
Yeah,
it was a ridiculous amount of fun. It was. I'm picking it up as soon as I can.
Yeah, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, it's going to be called Cavemaster. Appropriate enough. So yeah, definitely something to check out. So hey, this podcast has gone strangely to plan. That hardly ever happens. Everyone's talked about their stuff. It's been fun, and we've had wow. I'm not used to things going this smoothly. You guys,
there's one mishap that we haven't had.
Yeah, it's going to happen. Yeah, something like
that. It's the dog barking in the background.
That's the signature of this podcast.
It is. You know, I mean, your icon for the for the Skype that we use should include the dog, I think, somehow.
I'll see if I can get her in there. She has to hold still long enough for a picture. That's kind of a problem.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, hey, since everyone else has done their pimping, it is time for me to shamelessly self-promote now as well.
This never happens.
It never happens. I'm sorry. Justice Wheels. If you go to Indiegogo, hey, I might even have the URL here handy. Hang on. Indiegogo.com/Justice Wheels. I'm doing... I had this idea where it seems like you don't really get people's vehicles much in superhero RPGs. You know, they're kind of covered in the stats, but they're never really focused. You don't get miniatures of them, and you don't really see them in the game much. So I had this idea with Justice Wheels where I was going to create a set of paper miniatures for icons that focused on characters and their signature vehicles. So if you go to Indiegogo.com/Justice Wheels, we've got a little video highlighting some of our stuff. Got a bunch of artists doing this. Scott Harshberger, Dan Hauser, Adrian Smith. And we're about halfway to our goal. We're about 230 out of 500. So it's going pretty well. And the first Justice Wheels release, it's going to come out tomorrow on RPG Now. We're still figuring out pricing. It'll either be free or a buck. We're not sure which yet. But, yeah, you can check it out. And it's just simple stuff. It's just, like, you know, a character, his picture, a description, you know, a couple ideas how to use him in your campaign, and miniatures of him and his car. And it is awesome. You will, you'll be crushed by the weight of how cool it is. It's a big shivering mound. I'm going to stop. Right. I'm not good at this pimping stuff. I'm sorry. I was doubling down there, and it just kind of... But anyway, check it out tomorrow on RPG Now. And, wow.
Mike,
yeah.
Mike, why don't you tell us what's coming up with Improbable Tales? When's the next adventure coming out?
The next adventure is Improbable Tales 2 Primal Power. It's laid out. It's ready to go. And I'll be releasing the download link to backers in the next week. And hopefully the week after it'll be up on RPG Now. So hopefully in 7 days the backers will have it. Then after that... it will be up on RPG Now. We're working on Improbable Tales 3 right now, which is got the improbable title of the Aqua Zombies of the Kriegsmarine. And that's very close to being...
Look forward to that one.
I know you'd... Several of John's characters are making appearances and are featured in that one, so looking forward to that. After that will come Vampires of Red Square and Dan Hauser's favorite, Dr. Warp and his Golden Androids.
Excellent.
And those are in the outline phases right now, but most of the art is done. We're just fleshing out the adventures. So that's the Improbable Tales update, and thanks for reminding me to do that, John. I think about it all day, so it never occurs to me to talk about it on one of these things because, you know, it's always in my head. So, well, hey, we've had a pretty snappy podcast. Anything we want to cover before we sign off?
Just sign up for Justice Wheels.
Sign up. All the cool kids are doing it. You are cool, aren't you?
Absolutely, I did it.
Yeah, you don't want follow a Walt's footsteps. He's a good example.
No, the scars are way too heavy. Don't do it,
Mr. Bardalis. Anything else you want to talk about?
I just want to say thanks to all of you guys. You guys are doing some great work for Icons. I'm one of the things I'm doing on my blog, Just Dead Heroes, is you know, doing updates on what people are publishing, letting people know stuff's out there. You know, always feel free to drop me a line if you want to plug something. I'd be glad to do it. And I just want to say thank you as a fan on behalf of the other fans. You guys have created some really great material. The open license in gaming is one of the greatest things ever because you're getting all this talent from everywhere, you know, just releasing great products and, you know, sharing ideas and stuff. So I really appreciate all that you guys have done. And, you know, we really enjoy playing the games, too. So thank you.
Hey, well, thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Hey, Mr. Post, anything else before we sign off?
I just want to say I think that Gen Con registration opened, if not today, it either opened April 1 or May 1, I can't remember. But I'm going to be running a couple of yet-to-be-published adventures at Gen Con, so if you want to get on in on some playtesting, just look me up, John Post, and register for one of my games.
All right, cool. Thank you, sir. Mr. Dunn, anything else before we sign off?
Just want to say thanks a lot for the opportunity to be here. Appreciate that very much, and appreciate the support of the community with all the Hope Prep stuff. Our products, while we're talking about Icons tonight, we do also release M&M versions of all of them if people prefer that version, just in case. It's all available through DriveThruRPG.
Excellent, excellent. Okay, well, hey, with that, hey, and there's a disruption. The dog's acting up. everybody, thanks. Thanks for joining us tonight. I really appreciate everyone's time. And folks, until next time. I've never gotten a good sign off for this podcast. Thanks for tuning in to the Banff Podcast, and we'll catch you next time.